Our next public hearing is change of zone number 1644, Brian McKinley.
This is an application to amend the comprehensive zoning map from a GR General Residential District to a GR RPC General Residential District Residential Planning Community for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Broad Creek 100, Sussex County, land lying northeast of Airport Road, being Road 488, 2,800 feet northwest of Fire Tower Road, being Road 479, and to be located on 140.21 acres, more or less. For the benefit of the record, the commissioner did receive an exhibit booklet, a spiral bound, a proposed development report on May 15th of 2009, which is a part of the record. There was a technical advisory committee review for comments received on January 31st of 2008 based on the Sussex County Technical Advisory Committee, and that's those comments. It's 15 or so agencies that provide us information. It's also part of the record. We received comments from the Sussex Conservation District in the form of memorandum. There are 9 soil types on this application site. The applicant would be required to follow recommended erosion and sediment control practices during construction and to maintain vegetation. They recommend that the applicant please follow all applicable state and federal wetlands laws. There are no storm flood hazard areas affected. It may not be necessary for any off-site drainage improvements. It's highly likely that there will be on-site drainage improvements required. There is a tax ditch affected. Attached to that memorandum is an aerial photograph of the area, an aerial photograph showing soils of the area, a soils report legend in reference to prime and other farmlands. From the Sussex County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division, we received a memorandum today. Makes reference to the site, the location, tax map, the number of units. Site is not located in a county operated and maintained sanitary sewer district or water district. It is located in the western Sussex planning area. Ordinance 38 construction would not be required. Conformity to the western Sussex planning area study or undertaking an amendment would be required. Makes reference that the project proposes to develop using a central community system by Tidewater Utilities. The engineering department recommends that the wastewater system be operated under a long-term contract with a capable wastewater utility. County requires design and construction of the collection and transmission system to meet Sussex County sewer standards and specifications. A review and approval of the treatment and disposal system by the engineering department is required, and plan review fees may apply. Disposal fields should not be counted as open space. Wastewater disposal fields should be clearly identified on record plots. The proposed project is within the boundaries of the western Sussex planning area, but is not in an area where the county expects to provide sewer service at this time. If the county ever provides sewer service and the project has a CPCN, it is recommended that the treatment system be abandoned. A direct connection made to the county system at the developer's and or owner's expense. If the county ever provides sewer service and the project does not have a CPCN, it is required that the treatment system be abandoned and a direct connection made to the county system at the developer or owner's expense. And that at this time, a concept plan is not required, and that was signed by John J. Ashman, Director of Utility Planning. We also received several copies of the plus report, being the preliminary land use service. The first dated document was, if I can find the first page here, September 17th of 08, or 07, excuse me. And then finally we received, there was a response, and then by the applicant, and on June 3rd of 08, we received the following. They provide comments referencing the response from Steve Engel of Vista Design regarding their response to the state agency's comments received through the preliminary land use service for the Trotter Farm project. In our original letter, the state objected to the development of this parcel because of the location of level 4 area according to the strategies for state policies and spending. Mr. Engel's response to our comments does not change our opinion that this site should not be allowed to be developed at this time because of its location. Therefore, the state has no additional comments regarding this project at this time. If you have any questions, please contact me. And that was signed by Constance Holland, Director of Office of State Planning. We did receive today a petition with 15 signatures, and it's states this petition is to vote against the development of Trotter Farm off of Airport Road in Seaford. We were just informed on May 27th, 09, that any petition would need to be turned in by tomorrow, being May 28th. If given the opportunity, we can obtain many more signatures before the June 16th, 2009 Planning and Zoning meeting. It doesn't really state reasons other than they are against. And as I said, there are 15 signatures. And that's all I have, unless you have questions.
All right, sir, we thank you. If there's anyone here that has a particular interest in this application, once again, I'll invite you to feel free to get up and move around, to get closer to the exhibits if you like, take a look, move closer as you can hear what's going on, and at the appropriate time, you'll certainly be given the opportunity to speak. And with that, we will recognize Mr. Fuquay, because it's now his opportunity to speak.
Good evening, gentlemen. For the record, my name is James Fuquay. I'm an attorney here in Georgetown, and I represent the applicant on this application. With me is the applicant, Brian McKinley, who's actually here on behalf of Cool Branch Associates, LLC, who is the actual owner of the property. Also, sitting behind me here is Drew Hayes from Foresight Associates, whose firm did the site design, and they'll be the engineers on the development, and also Betty Tustin of the traffic group, who were the traffic engineers on the application. This is an application for a GR residential plan community. There was an exhibit book submitted, which Mr. Lank mentioned, which I assume you gentlemen have a copy of, and I'll be referring to some things in the exhibit book. The proposed site of this application contains about 140 acres, and it's located on Airport Road, which is County Road 488. It's just southeast of Seaford and approximately 2 miles east of Route 13. The proposed RPC is planned for 473 residential units. There's a mixture of residential types. It's proposed to have 212 townhouses, 79 condos or multifamily units, and 189 single-family lots. The 473 units would represent a density of 3.38 units per acre. And it's proposed that the development would be phased over approximately a 10-year period, and no more than 75 building permits would be requested in any annual year period. The land comprising the site is currently zoned GR, General Residential. No change of zone is being requested. The zoning ordinance states that the purpose of the GR zoning district is to provide for medium density residential use, and the GR zoning district currently permits a density of 4.35 lots per acre. As you know, in an RPC, density is adjusted by subtracting the area of actual road right-of-way to determine what's referred to as net development area. And in the circumstances of this application, the actual road right-of-way would be about 14.3 acres, which would be subtracted from the 140 acres, leaving a, quote, net development area of 125 acres. And under the GR zoning, that would permit a maximum RPC density of 547 residential units or lots. And again, we are requesting 473 residential units, which is 74 units less than the density that would be permitted by the RPC ordinance. Also, as you know, the RPC ordinance also permits at least a request for some commercial use. There is no commercial use being requested as part of this application. The proposed development will be served by central water and sewer. Water for domestic use and fire protection will be provided by Tidewater Utilities, a public regulated utility company. Central sewer will be provided by Tidewater Environmental Services, Inc. And basically, those requirements for central public water and sewer would be conditions of your approval. And there are ability to serve letters in the exhibit book from the Tidewater companies. Other utilities serving the site: electric would be by Delaware Electric Cooperative, telephone by Verizon, and propane by Sharp Energy. And again, ability to serve letters are in Appendix 6 of the exhibit book. A traffic impact study was performed by the traffic group in the original planning and design of this development. That TIS was, of course, per the directions and the parameters set by DelDOT. That TIS was reviewed and approved by DelDOT. Certain road improvements were recommended by DelDOT. They include improvements to Airport Road, entrance improvements, right turn only lanes at two Route 13 intersections, the funding of an equitable portion of some other Route 13 intersection improvements, and the standard bicycle pedestrian type of improvements. And as I mentioned, Betty Tustin from the traffic group is here if you do have any questions about the traffic impact study and review. Also in the exhibit book, there is a letter from McCormick and Taylor, who are the DelDOT reviewing engineers. It's a letter dated August 31st, 2007. It's in Appendix 4, and that does spell out the specific details of the DelDOT recommendations. Roads within the development would be private. It would be maintained by the Homeowners Association. Sidewalks are proposed on both sides of the streets with streetlights within the development. As to the development access, a main entrance to the development is located on Airport Road, and there's a secondary entrance which is located to the east of the main entrance. Unlike Mr. Willard, I'm not afraid of the laser.
I guess that comes with age, Mr. Fuquay, you know, perhaps.
I think Mr. Willard thought it was one of his lightsabers on Star Wars. Right here, coming in from Airport Road, the secondary entrance, which I mentioned, is right down here. It's not completely shown on here because it comes off the property. This is an easement that has run with the land here and was acquired when this land was purchased. You can see from the design that the bulk of the access and egress from the site is geared toward the main entrance. And this would, the secondary entrance is really, would only serve a small portion of the development conveniently. But because of the size of the development, it was determined that two entrances would be more preferable to just one entrance. The development will have a central recreational amenity complex, which again is located right in this area here. The amenity complex will include a swimming pool, a community center, a tennis court, and a multi-purpose court, a tot lot. In addition, there are two other tot lots that are located at other locations in the development. There's a trail system throughout the development, and a school bus stop will be located per coordination with the school district. The development is located in the Seaford School District. It's in the coverage area of the Seaford Volunteer Fire Department. And as I mentioned, it's approximately 2 miles east of Route 13 and easily accessible to services, shopping, and employment areas in Seaford and Laurel. In addition, because of its proximity to Route 13, it's conveniently located as far as the main north-south highway in western Sussex County is located. The development will, every owner in the development will be required to be a member of the Homeowners Association. The Homeowners Association will have the responsibility of enforcing the restrictions, collecting assessments, and being responsible for the maintenance of the common areas and the recreational amenities. The site design that you see before you creates approximately 55.7 acres of common open space, which is approximately 39.8% of the total site. That open space includes approximately 33.8 acres of wooded areas and 2.75 acres of wooded federal wetlands, which will remain undisturbed. For your reference, in the exhibit book that was submitted, there is wetland delineation information. There's also copies of the traffic impact study correspondence and an endangered species report. And also, Mr. Hayes did prepare a Chapter 99.9C from the subdivision ordinance summary, which, as you know, is not required for an RPC, but it does provide a concise summary of the most important aspects of the application, and that's on page 4 of the introduction to the exhibit book. As Mr. Lank mentioned in his remarks, prior to filing our application, we submitted information to the State Planning Coordination Office, and we attended a PLUS meeting in Dover. You have seen from the PLUS comments that the state expressed the position that this site should not be developed because of its location. And that position, of course, is based on the site being in the level 4 area of the state strategies map. And again, I think Mr. Lank read to you the June 3rd, 2008 letter, which again, Mrs. Holland states that it does not change their opinion that this site should not be allowed to be developed at this time because of its location. And I want to stress the opinion, because everyone is entitled to their opinion. And again, this is a situation where, quite frankly, the state's planning office opinion is just plain contrary to the established Sussex County comprehensive plan and zoning ordinance. As you know, the state strategies is a policy guide to state spending. It's not a land use plan. That's not my opinion. It says on the introductory page of the state strategies document that it is not intended as a land use plan. It also recognizes that land use authority in Delaware has been delegated to local governments, and of course in this case to Sussex County. Also, as you know, state law provides that local governments must prepare comprehensive land use plans, and that the land use maps of the comprehensive plan shall have the force of law, and development must be in conformity with the land use map. So regardless of the state's spending strategies and their level 4 designation, the relevant and the legal designation is that established by the comprehensive plan and the Sussex County Zoning Ordinance, and that is how a land use decision is made. Now, I've already mentioned that this land is already zoned GR, and the purpose of the GR zone is for medium density residential use. The most recent update to the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan was adopted by the county in June of 2008, and that plan prior to adoption was certified by the state of Delaware. And I think it's particularly important in relation to this application and in retort to the PLUS comments to take a look at what the county said in their comprehensive plan. And I do have a handout here I'd like to ask Mr. Lank to pass down to you.
Sure.
Mr. Fuqua, is the handout, is that like what's
the handout is our pages from the comprehensive plan, so it's already a matter of county law.
Thanks.
The first page of the handout I just gave you is the actual future land use plan map of the comprehensive plan. And I've highlighted the location of our site there with the red mark. As I said, it's just southeast of Seaford. And on the actual plan itself, which you'll just have to take my word for it, but it's located in an area that I would either call peach or orange. I'm not quite sure. It's a strange color, but it's it doesn't show up on the copy I gave you, but it is in that colored area. That can be verified by Mr. Lang.
Labeled as a mixed residential area.
Right. That color is designated on the map as a mixed residential area, and that was a designation that didn't appear on the prior land use plans, to the best of my knowledge. And that designation is significant because the mixed residential area is listed as one of the seven types of growth areas in the county. And if you look at page 2 of my handout, it lists the seven types of growth areas in the county. And the mixed residential area appears as number 5 under that list, which is a couple pages further on. The plan states, and this is on page 3-16 of that handout, it states that the mixed residential areas mainly consist of existing residential development and lands where residential developments are proposed under the current GR and MR zoning districts. These areas already exist in that current zoning. And again, as I mentioned to you, our land is currently zoned GR. The plan sets forth 3 guidelines for future growth in this mixed residential area. And they appear on the next page. So the 3 guidelines for this area. Number 1, permitted uses. The plan states that the full range of housing types are appropriate in these residential areas, including single-family homes, townhouses, and multifamily units. Non-residential development is not encouraged. The second guideline under the comprehensive plan is that the current densities in these areas range from a maximum of 4 homes per acre for single-family detached housing to a maximum of 12 dwelling units per acre for multifamily housing. And the third guideline indicates that central water and sewer facilities are strongly encouraged. And if you don't have central water and sewer, then density should be limited to 2 units per acre. Now, as I mentioned, our application proposes a full range of housing types. We're proposing single-family lots, townhouses, and multifamily units. No commercial use is being proposed. The density we're requesting of 3.38 units per acre is less than that's permitted for single-family homes and much less than the 12 units per acre that would be the maximum that could be permitted for multifamily homes. And as I said, through Tidewater Companies, we will be utilizing central water and sewer facilities. So our application is in full compliance and in accordance with the most recently adopted Sussex County Comprehensive Land Use Plan. The great divergence between the State Planning's Office reliance on the state strategies map and the actual law as established by Sussex County, I mean, couldn't be further. So as I said, the state may say in their opinion this shouldn't be developed, but that's not what the county says, it's not what the comp plan says, it's not what the zoning ordinance says, it's not what the county said. Now, in addition to the actual comp plan, the site shares on part of its northern and eastern boundaries, it shares a border with Cool Branch Village, which is an existing manufactured home park. And that was approved as a manufactured home park back in 1988. It was approved for a total of 628 manufactured home lots. So this is already an area that is, again, zone GR, and it's a mixture of agricultural uses and residential uses, including manufactured homes. And the that's this border up in here. So with that, what I'd like to do is turn this over to Drew Hayes to review the site plan with you, and then I'll just do a closing. Drew?
Good evening. I'm Andrew Hayes, professional engineer with Foresight Associates. I'd like to just briefly describe the lay of the land and then the site plan. This exhibit board shows the approximate existing.
For the benefit of the public, would you mind flipping your other board too? Well, then turn around and let them see it, because we have that in front of us somewhere in this book, I'm sure. Once again, if you want to get up and get a closer look, but feel free to do so. Not a problem. All right, sir, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
That's fine. The site is comprised of three tax parcels, and it is adjacent to, this is the Cool Branch Mobile Home Park. These are developed units. This area is developing. And then this area back here is platted for additional units. The site right now is used primarily as an equestrian facility. There are a series of pastures out across the front of the site, one back here and over here. What you see, the big obvious ring is the training track for the horses. And then the parcel to the north is wooded. It's second growth forest. We've had wetlands delineated on the site, and there is a small area right in this area that is, it's about 2.75 acres. That's wooded wetlands. On the west side, this is Graham Branch, and there is a tax ditch. It's an extension of the Cool Branch tax ditch that runs, bisects through the wooded area. There's approximately 83.9 acres of woods on the site, 2.75 acres of wooded wetlands, and the balance of it is equestrian area, farm buildings, and pasture area. Back to the land plan. The land plan proposes the bulk of the density within the areas that are already cleared on the site. It also keeps the alignment of the existing track as a circulatory roadway in the community and places the amenities on the infield of the track. There's a clubhouse here and some multi-purpose courts and a pool in that area. The pasture area out front, these are townhouse units. The vast majority of them are alley loaded, so there won't be garages fronting on the streets. There is several loops of single family houses. This is a loop here. These are loops of single family lots. This is another cluster of townhomes in one of the rear pastures. And then there are a couple pods of condominium units. The condominium units would basically look like a townhouse from the front. There are a series of stormwater ponds for stormwater management on the site. We show nine on this plan. It's very preliminary in nature, although two of them are of particular interest on the infield of the track. One of the reasons we show these ponds is that the area that was excavated on the infield of the track to actually build the track filled up with water in agreement with soil tests that were performed on the site that indicate high groundwater conditions. While during the final design, we would certainly look towards doing infiltration measures where possible, we think that wet ponds are probably going to be the most appropriate means of stormwater management on the site due to the elevated groundwater conditions on the property. The land plan tries to provide open space next to the vast majority of lots. There are, I believe there's only a few lots in this area that do not back directly up to open space. And there are also several large tracts of wooded area that are kept intact. As Mr. Fuqua stated, the 189 single-family units, 212 townhomes, most of which are alley-loaded, and 72 condominium units, mostly densities up front. The road layout is curvilinear in nature to provide traffic calming. It also tends to improve the view of this site as you travel through the neighborhood. You don't see long straight roads. There are sidewalks, and we suspect street lighting would also be included. I touched on the athletic facilities. For buffering, the majority of the site has buffering around the lots in the and in the configuration of wooded strips. There's also this large chunk of woodlands over here. These lots in this area, they're off on the adjacent site. This is a wooded area right now, and there's a strip of woods along that portion of the site. This is over here is the Cool Branches spray irrigation facility for the wastewater treatment plant. This portion of the plant sprays the irrigated wastewater in the woods. And as part of the design for that plant, there are buffers provided on the Cool Branch side of the site that provide buffering for the stormwater management or for the spray irrigation facility. The wooded wetlands is in this open area, and as we said, the Cool Branch tax ditch runs through this corridor. And with that, I'll turn it back over to Mr. Fuqua. Thank you.
Gentlemen, I do have some proposed conditions and findings that I'd like to submit for your consideration. I'll give those to Mr. Lang.
Thank you, sir.
In summary, the proposed RPC creates a superior living environment with a mixture of housing types and recreational amenities. It was designed to create open space, preserve open space. The site, as I mentioned, is already zoned GR, so the zoning already designates the site as being appropriate for medium-density residential use. It's located physically next to a manufactured home park. It's, again, been approved for some time. And as I mentioned, the RPC fully complies with the current county comprehensive land use plan by providing a full range of housing types. The density of 3.38 per units is less than the density permitted by the RPC ordinance and recognized as being appropriate by the comp plan, and central and water and sewer will be utilized. We believe that it's an appropriate development for this location based on the existing county comp plan and zoning ordinance, and we would request your recommendation of approval. And that will conclude our formal presentation. We'll be happy to try to answer any questions you have.
All right, sir.
We thank you. I suspect there might be one or two questions. We'll start with Mr. Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You must have saw my sticky notes.
I did indeed. So I knew that there might be one or two.
Well, Mr. Fuqua, I kind of shared some of the sentiments that were expressed by the Ms. Holland and Plus in terms of I didn't feel some of the questions that were addressed by or raised by Plus were adequately addressed, so I'll start with some of those if I might. And I'll just go and I'll try and stay in format with the plan here. One of the things that kind of stood out for me was that there was discussion of some extensive wetland and wetland type soils, and I'll refer to the section page 5 of 32 where they talk about soils, which carries over to page 6 of 32. They're talking about approximately 25 to 30% of the soils, or wetland or potential wetland. And I noticed that this project seems to take up, looking at the bulk of the land there. So I'm wondering where this 25 to 30% of soils that they're referencing might be. Or
I'll refer to Drew, but I think I can probably answer it. The state looks at maps that they have that are not by any means detailed. There was an actual wetland delineation done on this site.
So the on-site wetlands is how you made your determinations rather than the maps that the state was referring to?
Well, that's what you have to, because the state will tell you the maps are not binding or determined. It was 2.5 acres, and it's located approximately right in this area right here.
And staying with wetlands is one of my favorite topics, of course. I noticed in there there's reference to a 25-foot buffer from the wetlands. Is that the established requirement?
The buffer that's mentioned in the response letter was a self-imposed buffer that was attempted to be followed for ditches, any drainage feature on the site. The ditches on the site are not regulated wetlands. They're considered waters of the U.S. The only wetlands on the site are that 2.75 acres. And there are no wetlands or required buffers on lots.
So you are providing a 25-foot buffer from all the wetlands?
From
those 404 wetlands at 2.75 acres you referenced?
I believe that the buffer is provided from those wetlands.
Then if I might refer you to your map, I'll cite the most obvious one is lots 184 and 185.
Tell me which page,
please. I can tell you page 3.
Okay.
Well, it's listed as sheet number 2. But if you look at, I'm assuming that fuchsia color or whatever color you want to call that line is your wetlands buffer, or am I mistaken?
Yes, you are correct.
So if I'm looking at 185 and especially 184, it appears as though there is
an area in the corner where this 25-foot buffer clips two lots.
And it appears to me that on 184, that buffer is actually within your building site plan.
This planning 25-foot buffer is within that. It's not a regulatory required buffer, though.
So the 25-foot buffer that you're proposing is a voluntary buffer, not a required buffer?
Yes, sir.
There is no buffer required, and I'll modify that 25-foot buffer to say that it almost is provided for all wetlands.
You had me confused there because you made reference to, and I'll cite at the top of page 8 of 32, a 25-foot buffer is all that is required by the current regulations. So that must have been a misstatement?
I believe that's a misstatement. The 25-foot buffer was a planning buffer that was used in the lot layout itself.
Just for a little bit of background, the original plus response was filed by a different engineering firm, and Mr. Hayes' firm came involved after that, so he wasn't actually the author of this response.
So you got an engineering firm that knew what the correct answers were.
Okay.
Sorry, I digress.
No editorializing.
I'm trying not to. And skipping over to page 11 to 32, there was talking about, as well as throughout it, and back to page 10 of 32, actually, talking about the water resource protection area. And there's concern expressed that this is in excellent recharge area. Can you show me on your map on this what are the excellent recharge areas have been left undisturbed?
The excellent recharge area roughly runs through the site, I would say, kind of in this type of shape, and it would be th- this area and these areas that are that remain undisturbed. However, the excellent recharge area is something that we wrestle with all the time because it's mapped based on the soil. So if it's very sandy soils in the first, I believe it's 20 feet, they'll call it an excellent recharge area. However, a good analogy is at the beach. The water flows through the sand very quickly, but if you dig down, you hit water. It's the same thing here. And what we have done some work on the adjacent site, and what we have found is that there's a layer of sandy soils, and then there's a clay layer that perches some of the water, and then there's more sandy soils below it. So just like we show these wet ponds on the site based on ponds that have already been dug on the site, we believe that the true opportunities for recharge are substantially less than what's mapped.
Okay.
That map is indicated on page 14 of 32.
Thank you.
The color map.
Thank you, Mr. Lang.
Mr. Johnson, if I can just add that there will be no discharge of wastewater on this site.
There will not be.
No, not be.
And where will that be discharged?
Well, again, it will be through tidewater, and Drew, maybe you can address it better, but basically it'll either be at an existing or planned plant or in connection with the existing central system that's located at the Coolburn site.
That's accurate. Tidewater is looking at several options.
So you might do one or the other?
Correct.
But no disposal on this property?
No.
Okay. And the tax ditches, you are providing for the right of way on those that they can be serviced.
Yes, the land plan follows the existing cleared pathways for the tax ditches. There's long-standing areas that are cleared, and in fact, the current owners maintain those. This land plan does encroach on what's the standard right away for the tax ditches. We plan to go through the process of working with the drainage section to modify the actual right of ways.
Okay. And with your stormwater management ponds, how much of those being a forested areas being cleared to provide those stormwater management ponds?
There are five ponds that are in the forested areas on this plan. The one that's shown on the far upper left-hand corner is an area that in the final design may not have an actual pond in that area. The others, they're located in areas that tend to have some of the wetter soils on the site, or we tried to place them on internal ring roads that were probably going to be cleared during construction.
So as we look at this, you may not need all those ponds.
That's correct.
Okay.
It during the final design, there will be an intensive soil investigation.
And I guess the only comment I have to make, Mr. Chairman, is I do appreciate the buffers that you are providing to the wetlands, although it's not required in the code, despite what the previous engineer said. So I know we have some differences on those buffers, but currently in our ordinances, it's not there.
All right, sir. Thank you. Mr. Burton.
All my questions have been answered.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, Mr. Johnson, for your questions. A couple things I did want to ask about the wetlands, and just for the record, I know we've seen 10 bears reports before, but could you give us their qualifications? They did your wetlands delineation.
10 Bears Environmental, they are certified wetland consultants. They have professional engineers and wetland scientists on staff. They're an established firm in Newcastle County, and they have submitted quite a few reports for us in the past. And they have also, I didn't mention it, but we have applied for a jurisdictional determination. That's in the works.
Thank you.
Although, Mr. Smith, I will note myself, perhaps a different name might make them sound a little more impressive. But.
No, as I say, I'm familiar with their work here before, but I was not noted in your exhibit book as to their qualifications. If this project is looked at favorably and there are lots in the vicinity of these wetlands that Mr. Johnson covered for us, your owner-developer feel okay with putting carcinite markers that would mark that, markers, you know, that have a permanency as opposed to flagging ribbon?
Not to get ahead of ourselves, but I suspect we could adjust some lines so that we would provide the 25-foot buffer from all the wetlands.
In your site plan, would there be provisions for some of the things that the commission looks at quite frequently, such as school bus stops and shelters in the appropriate areas?
Yes.
Have you taken steps, or will you be taking the steps, to try to budget for your homeowners what the cost of maintaining these facilities will be, such as stormwater management, the multi-use, the clubhouse, et cetera, et cetera?
That's becoming in certain situations, it's actually becoming a fact that's going to be legally required. There's been a change to the condominium law and another law that basically is going to require condo associations to actually prepare future reserve accounts that are going to have to be based on, I think it's an engineering estimate, and actually have dues collected to fund these. Now, that concept would equally apply, although maybe not legally, but it would equally apply to a homeowners association or any type of group of owners that would have that. So I think that will become not only legally required, but obviously practically a good idea, so people don't run up against a large special assessment for something unplanned for. But to answer your question, yes.
Does Mr. Fuquay, did you say you envisioned this as a 10-year build-out?
What I said was, roughly speaking, and obviously we've all come to learn that regardless of what your vision is, it has little to do with what happens. But we anticipate a 10-year build-out, a maximum of 75 building permits per any calendar year.
Mm-hmm. Are you suggesting in these, I just haven't gotten them, haven't read them, any timetable for the completion of the amenities that is going to be tied to C of O's or building permits?
Yes. Can't say I recall what it was, but Mr. Robertson, do you?
I think it's number 6. It says recreational facilities and community buildings shall be constructed and open to use by the residents prior to the issuance of the 100th building permit.
So that'd be approximately a little bit 23% or 22%. Although that would be all of the facilities would have to be done by then. It would, certainly would be anticipated that some of it would be done, you know, at the beginning.
Any thoughts as to the impact on existing neighbors and roadways and all of construction traffic ongoing over the course of this, of what could be a 8 or 10 year build out of having flatbed trucks hauling bundles of shingles, concrete trucks, different heavy construction type equipment on those roads?
I can't say there's been specific discussion of that. Obviously, that's a problem, or at least a situation that exists in every development. What we would anticipate is that entrance would be tied into our main entrance. I will say we are aware the easement, what I've referred to as the secondary entrance, that's an easement that this property has to reach here. There are homes along this easement, and in designing this, it was certainly recognized that the existing residents here did not want a lot of traffic coming out of this development down what in effect has been a dead-end road to this point in time. I stress there is a legal easement giving this property the right to use that. So the way this was designed, you can see that
it's kind of front-loaded with the density in here, and basically everything from here will be coming out to the main entrance. The only use of that secondary could be limited to probably this area in here. In the traffic impact study that was done, the traffic engineers tried to project what the how the internal traffic would flow to the exits, and that determination was that at the peak hour, there would be 30 additional trips added to that secondary road. So 30 additional at the peak hour. So that would basically be one car every 2 minutes. Now, going back to the construction traffic, obviously it's got to come in there, but we would intend using the main entrance and not using that secondary entrance. The main entrance would only impact us as far as once you come off of Airport Road.
And if I may add that the main entrance for the development was sited very closely, if not exactly upon the existing entrance that serves horse trailers, equipment delivery, and agricultural operations now.
So you're saying if this development wasn't there, there would still be heavy type tractor trailer traffic? It's
obviously on a less frequent basis, but yes, there is equipment and deliveries and trailers that use that entrance at this time.
Has, perhaps I missed it, has DelDOT asked for any specific road improvements, any encouragements to the developer?
Yes, they recommended road improvements. There'd be improvements to Airport Road. There would be improvements to two intersections with Route 13. They would require some right turn lanes. Basically, they don't want cars trying to cross Route 13 to go south. So they're going to basically have traffic go north on Route 13 and then have to turn around to go south from the impact from our development. There's a requirement for an equitable contribution towards some other intersection improvements. And then there's, again, the normal pedestrian bicycle improvements at the site.
About that S-curve slightly south of this on Dillard's Road, that I went to when...
I don't recall any requirements about that.
I don't believe there are any requirements.
Only DelDOT could realign that, if that's what you're asking.
I believe that's all. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right, sir. Thank you. Mr. Lang.
Oh, most of all my questions have been answered. I just did note in the start of the testimony, you made reference that most of the streets are curvilinear, and if you look at the multifamily sections, you referenced also that there's alley access of sorts for parking, but all those areas appear to be more grid blocks, squares.
The more compact townhouse areas are, simply for efficiency's sake.
And what I'm saying is that what the residents in the area are going to see is not a residential single-family type community. Out front, they're going to see something totally different, which is multifamily, because all the multifamily is right out front.
In the front, that's correct. And once you reach the rear portions of the site where the density is decreased, it's curvilinear.
Yeah, I see. That's just an observation.
Thank you.
Mr. Abbott?
No questions.
Council?
No questions, thanks.
Okay, gentlemen, we thank you. If you'll take a seat nearby, we'll see if there's anyone here with an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of change of zone number 1644, Brian McKinley? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to change of zone number 1644? Yes, ma'am. Please come right up, give us your name and address, and you may have the floor.
My name is Marianne Wilkinson, and I live at 26931 Danny Drive. And one of my questions was answered when they were talking about the second entrance. Accessibility, the entrance. May I walk over?
You may. Go right ahead.
It's a little easier for me to see.
Well, that's quite all right.
Right.
No, I think you had it right.
Yeah,
right.
Right.
I had it right. Thank you.
There you go.
Thank you. Yeah. If you look at Danny Drive, I'm actually at the dead end. And years ago, when I first bought my piece of property, I had to pay Homeowners Association. I had to pay that. And I also had to pay to have the road finished as far as chipped and tarred or whatever you say. And recently, we've always been called wooded acres. Recently, we went to change because of the 911 address, and that's when I found out that we had to change our road from what was supposed to be a private road to a public road so we could get the new sign, Danny Drive. Right now, I'm the one that got the petition together, and unfortunately, it was, I thought that we had until the 16th, and a lot of the other residents out there as well thought that we had until the 16th to oppose this.
Well, in a way, you do.
You do.
This public hearing precedes the county council public hearing, and actually the county council actually makes the final decision. We make a recommendation to them, and then they will make the final decision. So you'll get to do this all over again. Okay.
Well, the concerns obviously is, number one, the traffic. I'm not trying to point fingers or blame, but since Cool Branches came into the neighborhood, there has been numerous traffic. The roads are definitely in poor shape. Children are always outside of Cool Branch. They actually, I think, paved a little bit further over off on the shoulder for the school buses to be able to swing off and pick up children. But the children are either in the middle of the road or, they're never where they need to be. Also, since Cool Branch has been there, we have trash. It's nothing uncommon to come home and, on your ride home and see the couch, chairs, beer bottles, whatever, the increase of traffic that we've had so far. I've had kids that have just wandered from Cool Branch across the field into my backyard, stuff like that. You have the boom, 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 and, you're talking about a development now, and it's ridiculous. It's not necessary. There's a lot of wildlife that, it's going to be disturbed. There's deer. I have never... been driving since I was 16, and I'm going to quit saying this. Never hit an animal. I've hit two deer within this past year because they have been back there. They have been development. They're cutting up the woods. Mm-hmm. The deer have no place to go. So they're coming in, coming out of the woods looking for shelter. There's ducks, there's geese, there's owls. As far as the ditch, the tax ditch, they say they properly maintain. Well, they properly maintain the ones that are adjacent to Cool Branch, but there's one that runs directly beside my house, and it's not maintained. It's maintained by the state when the state comes and, clips the trees and all. The one I've had to go into several times because it doesn't even drain. If you were to walk past back in, this area here is another ditch,
mm-hmm.
which is adjacent to this. Also, you can walk right back here to Cool Branch. A lot of trash. It's disgusting. It's disgusting. There's seven of us out there, eight maybe, on Danny Drive. We all know who each other are. I'm the only one, unfortunately, that leaves at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning for work, and I'm usually the last one in because I work 10, 12-hour shift. I have two grandchildren. They can play. I have cats, dogs, don't have to worry about traffic in and out. My neighbors, Ron and Cindy Williams, their daughters are just now becoming teenagers. She was approached the other night. She jogs. She was jogging on Airport Road down the Fire Tower Road, and she was approached by a vehicle, not once but twice, and it came from Cool Branch. You call 911 for assistance from the state police. It takes time for them to get there. And they don't have time for small stuff. They really don't. And it's sad to say we shouldn't have to be bothering, the state troopers because somebody's got lights shining in your yard, or the noise. And as far as the horse farm now, they say the traffic is bad now. It's not. Yeah, they have a couple horses, not nowhere near as many as what they did have. They have a couple of small trailers, small pickup trucks that actually, well, you know, normal size trucks that actually take the horses to and from where they're going. There is not that much traffic at all. I don't understand why they would have to use Danny Drive as a second entrance. Why couldn't they come off of Cool Branch? Because Cool Branch does run directly back there. There's also a spot off of Route 20. There's a private entrance off Route 20 that runs right back to the field, everything. To me, Route 20 is busy. That's a busy road. There's plenty of traffic. You know, I think it's sad. I think it's sad. And none of us really out there want to see this come. Nobody does. So that's pretty much all I have to say.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for your time.
Yes, ma'am. We appreciate your comments. Is there anyone else who would like to speak in opposition? Anyone on the commission have any questions? Okay. There being none, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to spend the rest of your Thursday evening with us to see if we make a decision. Or you may wish to call the office in the morning.